Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Kathy Kay and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Friday, September 6, 2019, and we are reading from the Big Book and we are on page 53, the first full paragraph beginning, "Logic is great stuff." Today's readers are Shelley E. on the 12 Steps, Athena B. on the 12 Traditions, and reading the text are Dawn B., Julie E. B., and Jordan L. Reference number for this morning's 7 a.m. meeting is 13,367. That's 13367. And for Thursday's 10 a.m. meeting, the reference number is 13365. Our newcomer greeter today is Hoodie R, and Reggie O will be giving us some announcements at the end of the meeting. And thank you, Lynn S., for getting the recording going. OM Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Shelley E. to read the 12 steps of OA.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning, Kathy K. Thank you for your service. I'm Shelley E., a recovered compulsive overeater in Northern Michigan. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. Number one, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Number two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Number three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Number four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Number five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Number six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Number seven, humbly ask Him to remove our shortcomings. Number eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Number nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. Number 10, continue to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. Number 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. Number 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive eaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting us me do service. I apologize. Have a great day. I pass.
Thank you, Shelley E. Okay, Athena B., would you please read the 12 traditions of OA?
Yes, I will. Good morning, everyone. This is Athena B. from Northern California, and these are our traditions. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Seven, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Eight, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. Nine, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for letting me do service, and I pass.
Thank you, Athena B. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, and then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today we begin our study of the Big Book on page 53, the first full paragraph, and I will ask Dawn B. to get us started.
Good morning. This is Dawn B., recovered from Southern California. Logic is great stuff. We liked it. We still like it. It is not by chance we were given the power to reason, to examine the evidence of our senses, and to draw conclusions. That is one of man's magnificent attributes. We agnostically inclined would not feel satisfied with a proposal which does not lend itself to reasonable approach and interpretation. Hence, we are at pains to tell why we think our present faith is reasonable, why we think it more sane and logical to believe than not to believe, why we say our former thinking was soft and mushy when we threw up our hands in doubt and said, we don't know. This is a good paragraph. Logic is great stuff. I relied on it and still rely on it. But what this present paragraph and what this book teaches is that our best thinking got us here. What we relied on was our brains to tell us what was the best course of action. And we come in here with an allergy, learning that we have an allergy, and that made a lot of sense, and that it triggered the phenomenon of craving, which was beyond our human abilities to withstand, and that we couldn't trust our brains to tell us the true from the false. That was our disease. And we had a compulsion, an obsession of the mind, a twist of the mind, which took normal reasoning and normal data from our senses and skewed it to where we couldn't rely on it. And we had to rely on, we come to realize that we are powerless over all these things and that we need to rely on a power greater than ourselves, a power that we cannot see, a power that is beyond our senses. And the writers of this book are now telling agnostics and people without faith that we were exactly where you were. And we only relied on logic and reasoning. But now our experience shows us that our present faith is reasonable. And it is more sane and more logical to believe now than not to believe. So this is a indication of a great shift here, of relying on ourselves to relying on God. And that is something I get to practice every day. I get to practice rather than relying on myself, self-reliance. I practice relying on my higher power. And for me, it's not a one and done type thing, but it is something that I must, in my mind, pause rather than going through the knee-jerk reaction of to life, to challenges. I pause and I ask my higher power to give me an intuitive thought for a decision. I ask for my higher power's perspective. I ask to be able to see things more like my higher power sees them. And when I do that, in that pause, it is the most beautiful thing because I can connect with something beyond what my senses can ever possibly hope to reach. I can tap into a source of wisdom and knowledge and love that is infinite. And from that new vision that I'm given, from taking that time to ask my higher power's perspective, I can then apply that to my situation and see things in a new way. And the result is truly miraculous. The result of relying on my higher power on a moment-by-moment basis, rather than on my own vision, rather than on my own senses, has opened myself up to a world that is beyond my wildest dreams. And it is something that I practice with joy every day. So thank you for letting me share, and I pass.
Thank you, Dawn B. Okay, thank you for getting us started. Now I'd like to take five or six names. Who would like to share in this paragraph?
Eileen B.
Eileen D.
Lynn S.
Lynn S.
Sheila F.
Sheila F. Was that or F?
F like Frank.
Thank you, Sheila.
Kara L.
Kara L.
Des M.
Who is that M? Des M?
Des.
Oh, Bez M. Thank you. And then there was one more person.
Julie E. B.
Okay, Julie, gotcha. Okay. Thank you very much. So we have Eileen B., Lynn S., Sheila F., Kara L., Bez M., and Julie E. B. Please go ahead, Eileen.
Good morning. Thank you so much for your service. My name is Irene with an R, not an L, I-R-E-N-E.
Are you there, Irene? Irene?
I was speaking. Yes, I'm so sorry. I was talking away. Thank you so much for your service. My name is Irene B. Very gratefully recovering bulimic from Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Logic. Where does logic get me? Logic is logical, natural conclusions, that which makes sense, a path to follow. You know, where did my logic leave me? Logic, in my circumstances, led me directly to self-reliance. And that left me in a bind because my self-reliance is no good. My logic initially told me that God was judgmental, condemning, punishing, cruel, no mercy. And I wanted to be close to that God, but I was afraid of him. Then later in life, and he didn't care about me, so I had to walk away from that and rely on myself. That's what my logic told me. Then logic later in life, when I became bulimic after having been a compulsive overeater since age 6, my logic told me when I was in the treatment center, actually it wasn't my logic, it was my heart and my desperation that told me that, yes, I needed God. I couldn't do it on my own. By this time, I didn't know how to reach God. And somebody taught me how to pray. And then I could reach God for the moment when I was praying. But the moment I stopped praying, he was gone. Out of sight, out of mind. And I was back on self-reliance. And for me, one of the most difficult things has been to figure out how I can connect to that power. And I cannot connect and then unplug and expect me to continue to work. I have to stay connected for that power to flow through me. And if I unplug, I'm unplugged. So how do I stay connected? And you guys taught me that. I just talked to him throughout the day. I stay conscious in my self-talk. And I try to reach out to him. I got a stuffed animal in my car with big bulging eyes, and I named him Fred. And every time I see Fred's eyes, that is a reminder that God is with me. So I talked to Fred, and I said, hi, Fred, hi, God. And that sounds so silly.
But that's fine.
So thank you so much. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Irene B. Lynn S., please share with us.
Good morning. This is Lynn S., recovered compulsive overeater in Toronto, Canada. This line really is speaking to me. Logic is great stuff. And I'll tell you, it has never, ever been helpful to me. Never. And here's a prime example. I just got a call a few minutes ago, and this is logic for me. I'm looking for a car. Took it for a test drive the other day. Didn't sound right to me, didn't feel right to me. So I went to another dealer and tried the same model. It was amazing. It was amazing. So I went back to the original dealer. Thought, this makes sense. Try the one car, try this again. The car I'm interested in buying doesn't feel good to me. End of story. One would think. But the dealer just called me now. They're going to put plates on the car and let me drive it for a couple of hours. Now my head's going all over the place. Well, that makes sense. That's logical. I should drive that for a couple of hours. Maybe I should take it to my gas station. That's what I'll do. I'll take it to my gas station. Or maybe I'll take it to Rick. Rick knows about cars. No, I'll go to the gas station. That makes sense. Take it to the gas station. My head is going nuts. That's what logic does for me. And I heard two things this morning which were so helpful, and I thank God I jotted them down, and I'm using them now. One is, I don't need logic. Logic told me lie in bed and eat cheesecake, even though you're crying and you're 140 pounds overweight. I don't need logic. I need power. And the other thing that I heard, which is so true, and I'm experiencing it right now, when logic comes in, so does fear. And that's how I feel. I'm afraid of making a mistake. Maybe I should take the car to the garage. Should I phone the garage and ask them? When I connect with God, the power of God flows in. This incredible alcoholic indecision and fear of making a mistake leaves me. And I'm peaceful. And that's where I want to be. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Lynn S. And Sheila F., please share with us. Sheila, press star 1 to unmute.
Hi, this is Sheila F., compulsive overeater. And, you know, I was listening earlier on the phone to this paragraph too, and I was kind of thinking about the logic that I always used and thought that I was so smart using logic. You know, logic is what took me to every diet known to man. Logic is what took me to go on a diet, weigh, have hit my goal weight after losing 100 pounds, and then thinking logically I could eat anything I wanted because I had arrived and gaining that 100 pounds back. And my logic was just so skewed. Logic is what, it got me running around thinking I needed to be the director of everything, and it also got me running around thinking I needed to point out to everybody all the areas that I felt were falling short, because of course they would want to know. And my logic got me thinking, worrying all the time about my family, worrying about my husband, if he was going to make it home on his motorcycle after work, is he going to hit a deer? But, you know, when I came to believe and trust, I almost felt like it was too easy, that it was almost irresponsible. But, you know, now I can just give my boys to God, my husband to him, know that he knows what's best for my life. I was widowed once, and I don't want to be widowed again. But, I know that I can trust God with my family today and with my sponsor, my food plan, this program, I can just trust. And I still fall into what I would consider temporary atheism because I forget. Because it's still new to me that I can trust my higher power, that I forget and I start to get frantic and I start to think I need to fix things and work things. And then all of a sudden I think, oh, wait a minute, what am I doing? I'm getting ahead of myself. No, I just need to just trust God with this, give it to him, not take it back, and lay it there and just do the next right thing. So it's an exciting way for me to live together. It's so much less stressful, and it's not irresponsible. I feel like when I leave my loved ones alone and I don't tell them what to do, everybody cooperates so much better, and my world is such running so much smoother today. So that's all I have, and I'll pass. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Lynn S. Kara L., please share with us.
Good morning. This is Kara L., recovered compulsive overeater in Long Beach, California. Thank you for everyone that's doing service today in this meeting, bringing it to us. And hello to all of my fellows. Logic, you know, it's great stuff. We liked it. And up until the point that I had my spiritual awakening, I think logic was my higher power, that and intellect. My past told me that those are the things that were going to get me ahead in life, and that's how I was going to be able to be successful, was to think things through and to use my intellect. And to be spiritual was weak. Today, you know, I see that's self, you know, that's me being in self. My logic is me being in self. And when I sit and I ruminate and I think and I think and I try to find the best thing, I'm in my character defects. I'm in my perfectionism. I'm in not trusting my higher power. And it makes life painful. When I sit back and I say, God, please remove my character defects and direct my attention to whom you have me be? And then I listen for the answer and I follow direction. Life is easy. Life is joyful. I heard that earlier. I do it with joy. And today my life is filled with lots of joy. And I realize that when I get it uneasy, it's usually because I've fallen back into self. And how do I get out of that? Well, I continually ask my higher power for direction on everything. You know, I did it this morning. Should I have this for breakfast or that for breakfast? And I go with what's intuitive. Because I ask my higher power, give me intuitive thought, inspiration, direction. And then I relax and I know that those things will come. And it makes my life so much more happy and joyful and free. I get to have freedom from food obsession today. I get to grow my emotional relationships today. I get to be at peace in my day. And when I'm not, we have this program. I get to work the steps today. I get to live in 10, 11, 12. I get to have all of these things that give me tools to get out of self and to rely on my higher power and to trust that I'll be cared for, to be of service that my higher power needs in this world. So thank you, everybody, for being in here and participating in my recovery. Lots of love to you all. I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Kara L. And Bev M., please share with us.
Hi, good morning. This is Des M., recovered compulsive overeater in Long Beach. Thank you, Team Friday, for your service. I'm so grateful to be on the line this morning. And logic is great stuff. What a good paragraph. I love the, you know, first line, last line. Logic is great stuff. We don't know. And that's kind of a summary of, I guess it could be, I just had an image of those machines, the pinball machines, where you're just kind of like bonking back and forth. And I guess I'm dating myself. I'm old enough to date myself. I don't know if people that are younger than me know what those are, but that's what it was like. Like, oh yeah, this, okay, so I'm going to be on this diet. I'm going to be doing this thing. I'm going to get this sponsor. I'm going to have this food plan. I. And I ended up in the paragraph to the left of this in the bedevilments, you know. And, you know, and I can end up there every day. Often, like, I get to start there. Last night I woke up in the middle of the night, like, grateful. Oh, often I wake up in fear of, like, oh, the next day, and then I do the steps, and that goes. But I woke up in this state of ease and comfort, which is pretty wild. And, you know, I only get that because I am working these steps on a daily basis, and, you know, God's working these steps in me, and I'm surrendering. And just this morning, you know, my logic was, what should I do? Should I take a shower? Should I listen to the beginning of the reading? I did a fear inventory, and my higher power told me to slow down. And then I didn't listen for a second. And then right now, currently, I'm sitting here with my big book and a candle laying on the ground, which I only get to do every so often when I'm not working and the meeting's on. And like today, I just get to be open to new ideas if I'm willing and doing the stuff, you know, that it takes to be open. And new ideas, like little ones that my sponsor taught me, like which way do I turn on my walk? Which way do I drive to work? How do I listen to this meeting? Am I sitting still? Am I drawing? Am I, you know, having a candlelit meeting with myself? Like all of this, they're options. But if I don't turn it over and like have that tiny willingness to believe in something greater, then I just keep staying in the bedevilments, you know, in abstinence or not. And I'm just so grateful that just this morning I woke up and, you know, I asked God to direct my thinking, and I'm going to continue to pray to be willing to do that throughout the day. And thank you so much for everyone's shares. And I just truly wish everyone a great Friday. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Bev. Julie E.B., please share with us, and then we'll take some more names. Julie?
Hi, this is Julie E.B., gratefully recovered in Colorado today. I just, logic is great, you know, as far as it got us. I mean, logic, you know, can help us to look at these things. But for me, it's pretty simple. When I take away all the spinning, when I take away all the convoluted thinking that I have, what does logic tell me? It tells me that that my life was not working. It tells me where my life is not working. It tells me that I'm powerless over my food. It is logical to assume that after the, you know, third, fourth time you start gaining 100 pounds again, or third, fourth time you start just hurting your body by losing that same weight, that, you know, maybe when you're 42 years old and you have 6 medical specialists and you're going to the hospital on a stroke alert, you know, maybe something isn't working quite right. And maybe what needs to change is everything. And logic might tell me, well, that sponsor sounds harsh and that sponsor sounds great and that sponsor sounds this way, or I can't work with this and I need this kind of sponsor, that kind of sponsor. But actually, it's just like if that person shows up and I abandon that logic and that I can figure it all out and I just do the next right action, that becomes its own kind of logic. And for me, what this book is talking about in this section is that it's logical to look around and see people with whom the problem's been solved and ask them what they did. And even though it doesn't make sense to me, to try it for today. And so I love what people have said about logic driving me out of fear, also driving me out of living out of resentments and what isn't going to be and what God hasn't done for me, or how I do see myself, or just guilt, you know, logic of where the brokenness is that causes me so much pain that I don't know how to live with it. And I can release all this stuff through the steps. And it's not logical, but God has given me more than I could ask for. God does for me today what I cannot do for myself. And I thought it was logical that I could do it all myself, but you guys have shown me otherwise. So thanks for keeping speaking with this simple logic that I am powerless and I have a mental obsession and I need help. Thanks. Bye.
Thank you very much, Julie. Okay, what's the name? Who would like to share?
Lydia.
Okay, there's somebody banging around. If you could mute, please, that would be helpful. Okay, I heard Lydia. What is your last initial?
T.
T, okay. Who else?
Andrea.
Try again.
Kathleen O.
Okay, I heard Kathleen O. And Kelly, your last initial?
S, as in Sam.
Okay, Kelly, thank you. Who else?
Andrea S.
Andrea S.
Yeah.
And one more?
Terry KP.
Oh, sorry. Okay, sorry about that. That was my timer going off. Okay, who is the last one? I have Lydia T, Kathleen O, Kelly S, and Andrea S.
It was Sherry KB.
Sherry KB?
Yeah, will you add Jordan now in case there's time?
I'm sorry?
Jordan Elling, in case there's some time.
Oh, okay, Jordan, sure. Okay, great. Okay, Lydia T., please get us started.
Hi, this is Lydia T., grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater from Marquette, Michigan. I just, you know, to me, it's the whole logic thing. Logic is great stuff. That's what teaches us things that we need to know. I need logical things for my job every day. You know, it's logical. I get up, I get ready, I do the things I do. But in my life, there was always something missing, and I was trying to find God, and I didn't even know it, because to me that wasn't logical. I wasn't raised with religion. I wasn't raised with God. I wasn't raised with that, but I knew God. I had seen God many times before, and always was trying to find God. And that is why I used alcohol, food, everything outside of myself, trying to fill that hole that I had. You know, logically, my life was great. You know, I have a wonderful husband who is a recovering alcoholic who hasn't drank in 14 years. I have a nice home. We have good jobs. All of the logic would say that I should be a happy, fulfilled individual, but I was missing the God piece. And the only way that I was able to find that and am able to find it on a daily basis is by surrendering and by working these steps every day. And that is so illogical to me, somebody who was raised that logic is the most important thing in the world. And so I'm just so grateful that I was led to this program, and I was led to this program, and it wasn't by myself. It was somebody else leading me, and that was God, and that's what got me into a recovered state, into a normal-sized body, into being somebody that doesn't have to take things outside of myself and put it in. The only thing I need to do is wake up every day and pray and meditate and invite God in and work the steps and do all the things that it says to do. And that's all I have today. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Lydia T. Kathleen O., please share with us.
Good morning, Kathy. Thanks for your service this morning. And good morning to all of you on the line this morning. It's a great meeting. And logic, I love that word. Because logic is great stuff. You know, it describes something that comes from clear reasoning. So if my car is on empty, logic is going to tell me to go to the gas station and fill it up. But when it comes to food, I tell you, I got to leave logic to the non-addicts, because when it comes to food, logic does not work for me. Because what seems logical, what always seems logical was, well, it's logical to go on a diet on Monday because it's a new week, it's a new start. That makes a lot of sense. That's clear. Or it's logical to even go on a diet because one time I went on a diet and it worked. You know, never mind the hundreds of times that it didn't work. And so, you know, it all kind of boils down to, goes in, you know, morphs into that self-knowledge, you know. Oh, I know all this, I know all that. And, you know, self-knowledge, of course, you know, surely we think this is the answer. In Bill's story, self-knowledge, but it doesn't work, nor does frothy emotional appeal. And it's, I mean, truly, it's not, what isn't logical was for me to come up with a conception of a God, conception of what God means to me, and trust and rely and have faith on that, my understanding of God, to make, turn my life around. That is not logical. And yet that's what worked. So, you know, it really is about faith. I mean, logic is drawing my own conclusions and everything but my addiction. I do need to leave that logic to the non-addicts because it doesn't work for me. But faith does. And what I do today is, you know, faith is something that there's no evidence, certainly no logic. But I have faith that God's going to guide and help me in everything. And it really does work. You know, I've learned to pause. And when I pause, I just kind of stop what I'm doing. And I take a minute to just breathe in and out 20 times, whatever, for, you know, just slowly pay attention to my breath. And while I'm doing that, observe what's going on. And really just proceeding with the answers that I'll get in that 1 minute of just pausing. And I do it when, you know, I go to the table to eat, I pause and, you know, pay attention to what's going on, keep my mind and body and God all there together, not just numb out in front of the TV or something while I'm eating. That doesn't work for me. So anyway, I say leave logic to the non-addicts, and I pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Kathleen O. Kelly S., please share with us.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning, visionaries. Thanks, Kathy, for your service. It's Kelly S., recovered compulsive eater and bulimic in Oklahoma. A lot of great shares, a lot of the same stuff I wanted to say, of course. But, you know, I've shared this, I think, before. I tell people when I talk to them that, you know, this whole logic thing, I think it's funny because, you know, I was in these rooms for 30-something years before I finally really heard the message. And I was always trying to make sense of this program, you know, like, this doesn't make sense. You know, none of this stuff makes sense. You know, these steps, I mean, how does that work? How does this God thing work? You know, how does, you know, calling people, how does, you know, going to meetings, none of this makes sense. I would sit there and try to make sense of it. And then what I realized was that for all the years that I practiced my disease, I never once stopped and tried to make sense of my disease. It didn't make sense to me to be 125 pounds overweight and lose that weight numerous times and put it back on. It didn't make way to start binging and purging and get 20 pounds underweight and be in treatment and get out and immediately start binging. That didn't make sense to me. You know, it didn't make sense to me for 2.5 years to literally be binging, listening to Vision for You as I drove to work every day, you know, and just thought tomorrow would be different. That didn't make sense. But guess what? I had to eat. I didn't care if it made sense. I never really thought about it. I just did it anyway. And then I realized I needed to do the same thing for my recovery, because when I looked around, what was logical, what did make sense was I was hearing people on these lines that were sharing my disease, people who were telling my dis-ease in life, how they couldn't do life, how they'd been around. I heard many people who've been around for decades in the rooms like me. I thought I was so terminally unique, who started working this program, who started listening and doing the instructions laid out in the big book and started using this higher power thing, and it was working for them. I was hearing hope, and I was hearing a solution I'd never heard before. And so what did make sense is to start freaking doing what everybody else was doing. Quit trying to make sense of it. Give my recovery the same respect I did my disease, I guess you would say. You know, I didn't care if my disease made sense. I did it. I don't know how this program works, but guess what? It does. You guys showed me it did. And now 4.5 years later, by following the instructions and turning to this higher power and working in partnership with this power, that's what finally I'm realizing, wow, oh my gosh, you know, no, do I understand it? But we've heard this all the time. If I could understand God and make sense of God, then my God, my higher power is not big enough. So I don't know how it works. I couldn't explain it to you guys. All I know is it does. But I had to put the food down. I had to work the steps. I have to lean into God every single day. And I, too, am just like, breathe in God, you know, breathe out self, breathe in spirit, breathe out self. And I just have to, you know, quit trying to make sense of it. It works. I'm living a life today I never thought. Neutrality with food and learning to do life different. And with that, I pass. Thank you, Kathy.
Thanks so much, Kelly S. Andrea S., please share with us.
Thanks very much. Thank you to the team that's putting this call on. Thank you for being here for me today. My name is Andrea S. I'm calling from New Jersey. I've been a compulsive overeater since as long as I can remember. One of my early memories also is that the kids across the street would make fun of me and jeer at me because I was overweight. So my addiction logic, even when I was a little kid, when I was 4 years old, I learned this really quickly because it stung so hard that I was going to learn this as a hard and fast rule. It's logical that if, you know, me as a little girl addict, being on uneven, well, any four-year-old really doesn't have it together, right? So here I am with the kids across the street facing me and saying, you're fat, and making an ugly face while they're saying it. And that face they were making logically meant that, hey, they don't like me like this, and I'm bad and wrong for looking like this. And so logically, it meant that I was unlikable. Also logically, the little kid said to herself, if I stay away from people, then they're not going to be able to see me. And then if they can't see me, then they can't judge me. If they can't judge me, then they're not going to be mean to me. And if I stay alone and, you know, go off and lick my wounds in the corner, nobody's going to be able to hurt me over and over and over again. And then when I got older and got interested in boys, I already knew. Like, I already knew from years, like, 10, 11 years of being the kid that everybody let know that I was wrong for being fat, that popular culture let me know I was wrong for being fat. Of course, it made sense that none of the boys was going to like me at all. So I didn't even go there. I didn't throw myself at anyone. I didn't wink. I knew, hey, I'm not going to go there. And for decades, I knew as I got more and more overweight and then it became obesity, I knew that, hey, nobody was going to be interested in me. It's just logical that nobody's going to be interested in me. And then God has a different logic. What's this? This man is proposing on one knee and I'm the heaviest I've ever been in my life. That doesn't make sense. But even then, that big wake-up call didn't bring me to God yet. I'm so grateful that now in this program, I get to see God's logic is no logic. And just surrender, and be available to God, be of service to others, so that my life can just ride these waves of recovery. And they're not always perfect, and they're not linear, they're not logical, but they're there for me to just scoop up and hug into myself. And with that, I pass. Thanks. Thanks for being there, everybody.
Thank you, Andrea S. Sherry KB, if you take 2 minutes, we'll be able to give 2 minutes to Jordan as well. Thank you.
Okay, good morning, Kathy. Thank you for your service this morning. Sherry KB in Northern California, very grateful, recovered, compulsive reader. Thank you so much for your service and Team Friday and everybody on the line, and I'll just jump right in here. I did pride myself on my logic. I thought I had excellent logic, but when it comes to this disease, I have no, it completely goes out the window. I mean, when I look back on some of my behavior, when I was in it, it made total sense to me, but at the time when I look and I'm recovered and I look at what I've done in the past around my food and my addiction, it makes no sense whatsoever. So that's why I know with lining my will with my higher power's will, I have so much better logic. And for me, from priding myself of having logic, now I pride myself on lining my will with my higher power's will and belief more on my higher power and reliance on my higher power than on myself when it comes to this disease. What I've noticed is that, it says here, why we think it more sane and logical to believe than not to believe, because it is more logical to look at my disease and realize that what I was doing all those decades didn't work, so I need to rely on my higher power. That is very logical for me today. But when I'm in my disease, nothing makes sense. That's why it talks about it being soft and mushy, and throw up my hands and go, I don't know. I never could figure out my disease. I wanted to. I tried for so long, but I couldn't. But I'm really good in the other areas of my life, just not this one. So the logic is to turn my will and my life over to my higher power with that. And I'm grateful for that, and I'll pass.
Thanks so much, Sherry KB. Okay, Jordan, you've got 2 minutes or less to share with us. Thank you. Jordan, press star one. Jordan L. Okay, I guess Jordan dropped off the line. Is there anyone else who wants to take a minute here?
Kathy W.
Okay, go ahead, Kathy.
I mean, I'm sorry Jordan's off the line, but I really wanted to share, so thanks God. Okay, so I don't know, it just occurred to me that the logic we're talking about, so this book is written for people that are trying to recover, and so for me, like, I'm still trying to recover, I don't have any logic, my logic is broken. So if you read this book and you try to rely on a higher power and you have to rely on your sponsor who has, like, a stronger connection to a higher power because they've been working the book and working the steps, then you're golden. So I don't know. That's what I figured out this morning, but that'll pass.
Thank you very much, Kathy W. Okay, what wonderful shares today. Thank you all for being here, and thank you especially to Shelley E., Athena B., Dawn B., Julie E. B., and Jordan L. for helping me do service. We will now close the meeting with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Julie E. B., would you please read a vision for you on page 164?
I am truly gratefully recovered by the grace of God in Colorado Springs, Colorado. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and for countless others. This is a great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you.